And we're going to be talking about, in this episode, the proper way to interpret the verbatim word of God, the Quran, with my next guest, because there's a lot of people, I'm sure, who just open up the Quran, and you've probably seen this, and they read an English translation, which is not the Quran. The Quran is in the original Arabic, which has been preserved, tamper-free, tamper-proof. It's a living miracle for anyone who's sincere, who comes at it sincerely, looking at it objectively. We'll see that there's no way that this book could have come from anyone other than the creator of the heavens and the earth, revealed over 20 years, 23 years. And there's a proper way of interpreting it. And we're going to find out what that proper way is here on The Dean Show with this week's special guest. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to The Dean Show. Special guest in the studio. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Brother Eddie, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
It's always a pleasure to visit Chicago and visit The Dean Show.
Always a pleasure to have you. Yes. Make sure you stop in all the time when you're here.
Yes, definitely. It's my pleasure, inshallah.
You know, often when we quote this ayah from the verbatim word of God, the Quran, that killing one innocent being is as you if you killed the whole of humanity. Mm-hmm. Saving one innocent being is as if you save all of humanity. Now, I get bewildered when you have a lot of not yet Muslims out there and people who kind of, you know, some with a malevolent agenda. They basically want to twist some of these ayahs and other verses from the Quran to try to make Islam look very violent, to make it look barbaric. And that brings me kind of what we're going to be talking about today, people interpreting to Quran in whatever way they want. So have you had this scenario happen to you? So we'll quote this verse and the guy will say, no, it doesn't actually, this is meant for that time, this place. And I'm thinking like, hold on. This person is actually, if they took a little more time sincerely to study Islam, they'll see it as the truth, right? Instead of just increasing their hate for it, you know, because they're interpreting it according to some hater's interpretation. What are your comments on this?
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. You touched on a very sensitive and rather important phenomenon in the Muslim world right now is the people having the courage to interpret the Quran without even finding out how the Quran should be interpreted and tafsirt, if I may use the word here, as an English verb. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq at one time was asked about the meaning of a verse. And who is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Someone who was like the shade of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he didn't know.
So this is the companion now. This is like the best friend of the last and final messenger of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
And the first leader of the Muslims after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the person kind of said to him, what do you mean you don't know? He said, what earth would carry me, what heaven would shade me if I say about a verse in the Quran without knowledge? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, one day he was delivering a sermon and he quoted the verse in Surah Abasa, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا fruit and abba. He said, أَمَّا الْفَاكِهَةَ فَقَدْ عَرَفْنَاهَا. As for the fruits, we know what the fruits is. You know, grapes and so forth, bananas. What is al-ab? Al-ab is not a common Arabic word. And then he looked at his companions and he said, the people in front of him, and he said, وَمَا يَضُرُّكَ. And what was going to hurt you, Omar, that you don't know what abba means? And I'm not going to say about it because I don't know what it means. We're having a trend in the Muslim world right now, especially amongst the youth. And it's a very alarming trend. When somebody grabs the Mus'haf and he stands out there in front of the people and he explains the verse based on his understanding, these brothers do not realize that before this verse arrived him, arrived to him, reached him, yani, that's what I mean. Before he actually ended up reciting it and reading it, this verse passed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This verse passed by the companions, may Allah be pleased with them. This verse passed by the second best generation, the third best generation. He needs to go back and find out how they understood it.
But if someone says, look, I know English, I'm competent, I pick up two, three different translations, I can read English, and I mean, I can decipher it for myself. Yeah. I got a PhD maybe.
The Quran, Eddie, was revealed in 23 years altogether and some month. And a lot of the verses in the Quran have what is called sababun nuzul, a reason for its revelation. We understand that the reason for the revelation is not what determine our understanding, our overall understanding of it, but the overall meaning is what determines understanding of the determines our understanding of the verse. But yet the reason for the revelation grants you a criteria that can lead you towards the proper understanding of the verse. This is what the scholars say, ليس العبرة بخصوص السبب ولكن بعموم اللفظ. Shadur, the important thing is, I think we should say this in addressing this matter. Dear brothers, dear sisters, the most famous book of tafsir out there, and I want to question, ask the viewers this question, your viewers this question. What is the first book that springs out in your mind when I ask you about tafsir? Is Ibn Kathir.
Yeah.
No question. Even though Ibn Kathir came after Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari actually is more known in the Muslim world amongst the scholars in particular. But why Ibn Kathir? Because Ibn Kathir followed that methodology. He would explain the Quran with the Quran. The Sunnah explains the Quran. The Sahabi explains the Quran. The second best and the third best generation explain the Quran. Then you go after the language. This is the methodology that is followed. If you jump into the language, you're going to get in trouble because you have to follow that. And then hopefully we'll explain more of this.
So now I mentioned a lot of non-Muslims doing this, mm-hmm. who are not really sincerely looking for the truth. They're looking to oppose the truth. But then you also meant you got a lot of Muslims doing this. So, yeah. I mean, both are being ignorant to the fact
actually,
that...
Actually, a non-Muslim, at least he can say, come on, yeah. You know, you don't even know ulum al-Quran, yeah. The signs of the
but
Quran.
But now you're supposed to be a Muslim. You got to know. Okay, so we're going to... Yeah. So again, before we leave, what are the steps again?
Okay. The Quran explains the Quran.
Yes.
The Sunnah, in that, they have to follow that sequence.
That's
that's how Ibn Kathir did it. Go and open any verse in
so
Ibn
this
Kathir.
This is the proper way now.
This is how he does it.
Say it.
The Quran explains the Quran. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the Quran. The Sahabi explains the Quran. The second best and the third best generations explain the Quran. Then you can go after the Arabic language.
Done. That's
done.
It. That's it. Okay, we'll be right back. You going anywhere?
No,
you're
I'm
not going to leave. We're going to come back. You'll be gone. Empty chair. You're good?
Stay
okay, we'll be right back. God willing, we'll go anywhere. When I embraced Islam, from that day on, I knew I never wanted to drink another drink in my life. I never wanted to smoke. I never wanted to harm my body. Because I realized that it was a blessing, you know, to be able to see life from the perspective of Islam, because it's like a lens that clarifies life for you. And so I started seeing the clarity of life, and I said, this is what I've been looking for all my life. Now all I have to do is live up to it.
Subscribe right now and enjoy all of the content that we're going to be putting out for you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Back here on the Dean Show. So a sister says, look, I don't have to wear hijab. She picks up. She said, I don't see the word hijab in the Quran. Right? She's reading Yusuf Ali. Is this an example of jumping somewhere where you're not going according
absolutely,
to what you just said?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The hijab is in the Quran. This is to begin with. You know, we have two verses crystal clear.
But she says H-I-J-A-B is not there.
Well, this is now if she's going to go after, you know, the Qurani groups that says the religion is only the Quran. Who mm-hmm. said that? The Quran and Sunnah. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever the messenger commands you do, you need to do. But let me give you an example of a companion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كما في حديث مسلم, صحيح الإمام مسلم, حديث Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he said, learn the Quran from four. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was number one on the list. Then Mu'adh, Salim, Mawla, Abi Hudhayfa, and I forgot Ubay ibn Ka'b, he's the second. So those are four. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one day he was asked about a verse in Surah Ghafir. قالوا ربنا أمتنا اثنتين وأحييتنا اثنتين فاعترفنا بذنوبنا. The meaning of the verse, O Allah, you made us live twice, die twice. What is that? So the companions asked him, يا ابن مسعود, what does it mean? Here is, we're talking about a companion. You know what he said? تفسرها آية البقرة. The verse in Surah Al-Baqarah explains it. So he went after the first source now. The Quran explains the Quran. What verse is he referring to in Ayatul Baqarah? How dare you? كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم. Here it is. How dare you disbelieve in Allah when you were dead and he given you life and then he's going to make you die and then he's going to give you life again. So those are the four times that are mentioned in Surah Al-Asr. So the point I'm trying to make, the Quran explains the Quran. And this is where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent time with Jibreel Adi. We read Hadith Ibn Abbas that every year Jibreel would come and review with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Quran. Not the review, the memorization of the Quran. يُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ teaches him the Quran. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. The mighty one taught him the Quran, meaning Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So Rasul salam would ask Jibreel about verses that he does not understand. So the first place we need to go to is the Quran. Now next, who learned the Quran? Sunnah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And that's why look at the books of tafsir. In the books of hadith, you always find a book in the midst of, amongst the books of hadith. كتاب الإيمان كتاب العلم كتاب التوحيد كتاب الصلاة كتاب الزكاة كتاب الحج كتاب الجهاد. You always find the book of what? كتاب التفسير. The book of تفسير.
This is the explanation of the Quran now.
Certain verses the compiler of the hadith would bring an explanation of the Quran. So how dare you go and explain the Quran without going back to the Sunnah, without quoting the Sunnah
of the Prophet. So do you really sound ridiculous if you say we don't need the Sunnah? If you say we're Quranese?
That's what the hijabi one is saying.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what the hijabi...
She's indirectly saying that.
She's indirectly saying that. She's saying that the verse was revealed to her. Jibreel came to her, not to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Have you heard of these groups? They call
absolutely
them the Quranis.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had a discussion with someone like this?
Yeah, I have a couple of YouTube videos out there where they really insult. And I had one of them actually calling me on my show at one time. Remember that Let's Talk About It show?
Yes.
And, you know, he kept arguing with me. And then I...
What's his argument? Give us an example.
Well, his argument that everything is in the Quran. We do not need the Sunnah. Then I started asking him, how do we pray? Can you find this in the Quran? How many salahs? How should we pray? How should we... what about the 2.5%, the mandatory zakah? Bring this out from the Quran. So at the end, when they are very empty because they use evidence taken out of context, then subhanAllah, that was a live show. He was on the air with me. And I didn't want to sound, I didn't want to insult him. And normally when you go into debate, when you lose your temper, that means you lose, even if you have the correct position on an issue. Then I asked him, are you a Muslim? His name is Ahmed. Are you a Muslim, Ahmed? He said, yes. Can you tell me what makes you a Muslim? You know what he said? أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. And he stopped. Do you believe that? What about the other أشهد أن محمد رسول الله? That's wow. What I'm trying to say, there are good Muslims out there who may not have that extreme trend, but yet when they cancel out the Sunnah, when they explain the Quran, that's what you're doing. You're saying that verse came to you before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions. His companions, they learned. Ibn Abbas, Ubay ibn Ka'b, I named some of them. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. They were there when the verse was revealed. And when they did not understand the verse, they would go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him about it. So you need to go to find out what the companion, how the companion understood the verse, how Abu Bakr understood it. Then after that, these companions, they taught their students. Mujahid, for example, would say that I reviewed the Quran and the explanation of the Quran twice with Abdullah ibn Abbas, Mujahid ibn Jabr, and others.
Then you can go to the language. But you go just for the language? We hear a lot of brothers going out there and explaining the Quran using the language. That is dangerous. The language is one of the tools, but it comes in that sequence.
What do you tell a non-Muslim or an opponent of Islam who has, he throws, we talk about, you know, the verse where killing one innocent human being, and then they throw all these, let's
there
say,
is
verses.
Actually,
They say, look, it's very violent. How do you explain this?
There is a verse in Surah At-Tawbah, which means what? Kill the infidels. Where do you find them? Sit for them. That's the famous verse that
they throw that out there, yeah.
Without the sunnah, you're never going to be able to grasp the understanding of this verse. A lot of people don't know this. The explanation of this verse is not the Quran. It's not in the Quran. You cannot find an explanation for this verse in the Quran. The explanation for this verse in Surah An-Nasa'i.
Give us what's the explanation?
The explanation that the Kaaba was surrounded with idols. The Kaaba, the house of Allah, was surrounded with idols. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could not even perform his Hajj without cleansing the Kaaba from these idols. Now, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received the beginning of a chapter in the Quran called Bara'at Tawbah, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said to the Messenger of Allah, go and give them a declaration. You have 4 months to vacate the Kaaba. 4 months to vacate the Kaaba. Now we need to pay attention to this, that the Arabs always had a problem fighting inside the Kaaba. Somebody may be killing another person, or somebody would kill the father of another person, and he would go sit inside the Kaaba for a year. He cannot be touched. They have to wait for him until he comes out. So now, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, to make that declaration to the people in Mecca. Listen, you have 4 months to free the Kaaba, take your idols out, move out. After that, we are in a state of war. You are combatant. Now, when we understand this verse, kill the infidels. Where you find them? Why would you find them? Because what if they are still in the Kaaba? You're allowed to fight them there. Snipe them, shoot them, whatever it is. So this is how you understand these verses in a context of a combating war.
So this is in combat now.
Yes, but where do you find that explanation? In the Quran.
This is
in the Sunnah.
According to
the Seerah.
The last and final.
The biography of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
We're going to take a break. Yes, we'll be right back. This exciting episode on the Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Subscribe right now and enjoy all of the content that we're going to be putting out for you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Back here on the Deen Show, we're talking about the proper way of understanding and interpreting the Quran. It's not like people of other faiths, they don't have this system. You seem like, you know, for instance, our brothers in Christianity, again, not to hurt or insult anybody, but you see this, it's common. Like you ask one individual about a particular topic, if you have 10 in a room, you have 11 different opinions, right? Because there's no set system. You don't have everything preserved. It's not authentically documented. It's a lot of guesswork. Here, it's not guesswork. Everything is preserved. That's one of the miracles of Islam,
Can I tell you something very interesting? The difference between the people who follow the truth and the people who follow any falsehood, you name it, whether it is kufr, whether it is shirk, whether it is bid'ah, you name it, any falsehood, which is conflicts or contradicts the truth. Ahlul Haqq, the people of the truth, and memorize this, dear viewers. يعتقدون ثم يستدلون ثم يعتقدون. They look for the evidence, then they formulate a belief. The other group is the opposite. They formulate a belief, يعتقدون ثم يستدلون. Then they look for an evidence to justify their beliefs. You're getting that?
Yes.
So, when you approach the Quran with the correct beliefs, I'm going to tell you a story.
Please.
And that story was mentioned in Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Again, I love Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. I love him dearly. Ya Rab, gather us with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and the rest of the Sahaba. One day, al-Athar Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sa'id ibn Jubayr is the narrator, fi Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, yani sahih, yani sahaha ahl al-ilm. Abu Bakr one day stopped by the Jewish school where Jews in Medina are teaching, the Torah. So he found a very famous scholar of the Torah sitting down, whose name is Finhas. فأبو بكر الصديق approached him and he said, ويلك يا فنحاس أسلم. Woe to you, O Finhas, become a Muslim. إنكم لتعلمون أن you know that Muhammad is a true messenger from Allah. He came confirming what you have. Become a Muslim. You know what Finhas said? I'm not gonna believe in a God who makes usury haram on us and he accepts usury. That's a blasphemous statement. What is he referring to? He's referring to a verse in the Quran, من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا يضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة. Whosoever lends Allah a goodly loan, Allah will multiply that loan for him. So, sometimes you hear these brothers coming out with this verse that aqeedah is not important, tawheed is not important. What is the problem of Finhas? Finhas approached the Quran with a corrupt belief system, corrupt aqeedah. He believes that Allah is a human, huh? That's the issue. That's the issue of with us and our brother, from Christianity and Judaism, is the concept of God. They believe in a God, but the concept is distorted. Like the verse, Allah created the heavens, and they say Allah created the heavens and the verse in 6 days. And what did he do in the seventh day?
Rest.
Does Allah rest?
No.
That's why the Quran comes in Surah Qaf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. I created the heavens and the earth and what's between them in 6 days, and no even sign of fatigue happened to me. Allah is negating that. That is not correct. So Allah created the creation and he regrets creating the human and angels council, come and count. That's what we have in the Old Testament and the distorted, of course, versions of it. So now the point here is when you approach the Quran without knowing the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah is, you're going to reach that conclusion.
Yeah.
Because the obvious meaning of the verse, yes, Allah is accepting usury. Yeah. That if you give him a loan, he's going to multiply it for you. Meanwhile, can we do this? If you give me a loan, can we do that?
No. Yeah.
So, Abu, let me finish the story quickly. Abu Bakr hit him. Slapped him, actually. Because he couldn't take it. It's not right. So he went right away to the Prophet complaining about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Again, it's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Then the Prophet asked Abu Bakr, why did you do this, Abu Bakr? We shouldn't be doing this. He said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, he said this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that Allah is poor and we are rich. He's asking us for a loan and he's going to accept usury. And meanwhile, it's unlawful for us to deal in usury. Finhas said, no, I did not say that. He's basically saying that Abu Bakr is lying. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down with the verse in Surah Al-Imran. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. Allah has heard the statement of those who say that Allah is poor and they are rich. We will write this. سَنَكْتُوا مَا قَالُوا وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Again, to sum up what I'm trying to say is, one of the prerequisite for you to approach the Quran, to explain the Quran, is not the Arabic language. Rather, it is the proper belief system, aqeedah. Tawheed. Because if you approach the Quran lacking aqeedah, lacking tawheed, you're going to reach a lot of wrong conclusions with a lot of the verses.
But what if someone says, look, for the person who's not Muslim, so obviously that person doesn't have a correct belief at that time, but he's looking at how should that person approach that has no familiarity with the system? How should they, if they're sincere, if they're looking for the truth, is that the criteria?
That is still the criteria, but that person needs to know that the Quran, based on verse Ala Imran, has two types of categories. Mm-hmm. Crystal clear verses,
yes,
and ambiguous verses. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. He should go after these crystal clear verses. As for the ambiguous one, you need to go to a scholar. فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. Go and ask those who have the knowledge of the Quran, of the Sunnah, of the Sahaba, if you do not know.
If someone says, why are those ambiguous verses there?
ما هو, look at what is aqeedah? What is aqeedah? What is the concept of aqeedah? The Quran, all of the Quran is aqeedah. All the Quran is tawheed. What is aqeedah? Is تصديق الخبر تنفيذ الأمر. You see, aqeedah is that you execute the command of Allah and that you believe in anything that you're told in the Quran and the Sunnah without any doubt. So the ambiguous for the belief, for you to believe. Are you going to believe? Because before you approach the Quran, you should have already established who is Allah. You already established that Allah is all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise. You already settled that case. Now, whatever Allah tells you, it's like before you go to a doctor, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثُلُ الْأَعْلَى here. Before you go to a doctor, you go and look for the credential, right? Oh, he's a Harvard. I don't know if there is a middle school Harvard, but he is this. He's when you go there, okay, I want you to take that poison and drink it. You're going to drink it, right? So we settle. That's why, that's what aqidah is. That's what tawheed is. That's what belief system is. Before you approach the Quran, you should have this already in place and established so that whatever you foretold, I know we have to close. But very quickly, the hadith regarding what if you have a cup in front of you, huh, and a mosquito or a fly, yes. You know the hadith, yes. Right? Dip the other wing. Listen, if you want to drink it, you can throw it away and go and get another drink. But what if you're in the desert and this is the only drink available for you? Okay, a lot of people say, don't say this to non-Muslims, you're going to say we're drinking flies. Had a khabar. This is information came to you through revelation. You get that German scientist going and doing some lab work.
They did some lab work.
Yes, some lab work on it. And what happened, Eddie? What happened? They found out that there is a remedy in the other wing. That's why you need to dip the both wings inside. There is a disease and the remedy for that disease. Now Muslims say, this is a good one now. This is a good one. That's not how you deal with the Quran. No. That's not how you deal with it.
All right. So recapping, there's a system. First, what do you, for the Muslim now? We got 30 seconds. First one is Quran by Quran.
Quran explains.
Or even before
Quran.
That, you're sincere, wanting to know correct belief. That
before you approach the Quran, you must have aqidah, belief system. You must have tawheed. You must have a good understanding of your belief system.
Next
then
one.
The Quran explains the Quran. Don't pass any of that.
Yeah.
The Quran explains the Quran. Mm-hmm. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the Quran, the sunnah, the hadith. The tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Sahabi, because the Sahabi was there when that verse got recited, and when they didn't understand it, they would go and ask Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba passed on the knowledge, passed off the Quran, the Sunnah, the Tafsir, the Hadith to second best and the third best generations. That is number four. After that, you can go to the Arabic language. But what happens? We have people jumping into the Arabic language, disregarding those four.
Okay,
this is very dangerous.
We're out of time. How about for the not yet Muslims, the non-Muslims who open up and start throwing verses out there, try to discredit Islam? What do you tell them?
Non-Muslims, please. The Quran is very special. The Quran was revealed 23 years, not like the Torah, not like the Gospel. And for every verse, there is a reason for a revelation almost. Almost. Now, you need to be aware of the criteria the verse was revealed because of, and that will structure your understanding of the verse.
Thank you very much.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
And there you have it, the proper way to interpret the Quran. So before you quote a verse out of context, before you try to interpret it on your own, you follow these rules, and that's how you get to the truth. And one important point before that is coming to it with sincerity. This is so important, very important, and I hope that you got the benefit. Subscribe right now if you haven't already so you can get the next show delivered directly to you. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Subscribe right now and enjoy all of the content that we're going to be putting out for you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.